Hello, welcome to Fireside Chats. I am Magla Pillay, and as you may well be aware, I have in the studio with me Sister Denise, who has been practicing Raj Yoga meditation for over 4 decades. Today we are continuing the subject of heart is the core of the being. It was such a pithy and full dialogue that we had on the previous occasion that we decided to make this part two. Sister Denise, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Okay, it felt as if we stopped the last conversation in mid-air, so I had to take the subject further. You discussed loneliness, you discussed depression. The journey of self-healing, of repairing that which is broken, is not a short one, is it? It is, from what I understood from what you said in the past, that it is a lifelong journey.
Yes.
Would you tell us, on a practical and realistic level, how does one go about doing this? And Sister Denise, the reason I'm asking this question is because so many of us are so pulled to compensate for the weakness of the heart by the most common thing I can think of is jumping into relationships, functional and or dysfunctional relationships, because someone else loving you is almost compensating for yourself loving you. So how do you go about this journey, and how do you know that in the life that you're leading, you're not making your problems worse?
Well, you have to be very discerning, because you can make your problems worse. But I think that if you say, the purpose of my life is to find out who I am and to find out who God is, and keep that as the core of your purpose. And around that, of course, you have all kinds of other relationships and duties and social situations and your profession and so on and so forth, which is on one plane. But your inner world is rich because you have that going on. And that is going to be impacted by how you conduct yourself in your external world. And what you do in your inner world is going to bleed through into your external world and give it greater depth and significance, I would say. And, you know, our conventional morality and ways, our culture, will give you the message, well, that's a very selfish thing to do. But if you look at some of the more advanced forms of spiritual practice, they do say that no, to try to discover yourself, to know yourself, to know God, that is not selfish at all. That is really pure, that is really good. But it is not so many people who will make that the central purpose of their existence. So of course it means that one is self-sustaining, and it means that you're not operating out of need or out of greed or anything like that. You're operating probably very differently from most other people. So many people may find it maybe disconcerting, because they're not able to destabilize you or something like this, you know. So you're definitely operating on a different level from most people. And it is true that some people will find that disturbing, because it makes them look bad. But that's not your fault, that's not your problem. And if you do make this self-discovery, this discovery of truth and discovery of God central, well, it is a pilgrimage, a lifelong pilgrimage. And I think it's quite good, although rare, but quite good to be able to tell yourself, okay, I'm in this for the long haul, and I don't know how long that haul is going to be, but I'm ready to pass through all the different terrains, and then you embark upon your journey. I think one of the difficulties people may have is they want quick fix, or they want to arrive soon. But life is, long, and it is said you want to have a long life. Okay, why do you want to have a long life? Not just because you're afraid of death, you want to have a long life, but you want to have a long life so you've got enough time to sit with yourself, to explore, to go deep, to gain experience in life, so that you can keep on persisting to arrive at that core of your being, which is where you really connect with yourself. Because when you connect with yourself, then you connect with God. It's absolutely connected. And sometimes people think, oh, well, I'll try and connect with God. But if you haven't connected with yourself, you won't be able to move into that plane of consciousness that puts you close to God. But rather you'll be connecting with an idea about God, which is not the same thing as actual God. Or again, with yourself, you connect with all kinds of ideas about yourself, which is not the same as your actual self.
Sure. The layers are that many.
Are there many layers?
What propels us as humans to create pain for ourselves? Why do we do that?
Well, I don't know that we consciously create pain for ourselves, but out of ignorance we will do something that produces pain. And so probably the reasons are more to do with lack of wisdom, lack of understanding, and, you know, finding oneself in a situation that one hadn't planned on, you know, because I don't think people consciously create pain for themselves. Even the masochist, to try to plumb the depth of a masochist, you will find that somewhere in there that person is on the wrong track, misguided, you know.
In the previous episode, under part one, you mentioned that somebody who creates pain for others also does so for themselves. Would you like to take that further? Because I'd like for the audience to know what is meant by that. For many reasons, people cause harm to other people. What does that do to the one who causes the sorrow? Not the recipient, but the cause.
You are performing a karma which is going to cost you very heavily in terms of pain, because there is no avoidance of the consequences of what you do. So that if you consciously hurt someone, you're going into debt to that person. And somehow or the other, you're going to have to receive the return of that. That's the nature of the laws of karma. So you better be very aware about what you're doing, because every harmful action produces a price that you have to pay, and every pure action produces a reward, and you cannot at all escape from that process. Sooner or later, payback comes.
So what people call getting even isn't?
You say, someone did this, so I'm going to do that and get even. But there may be other things involved that you haven't taken into consideration. So maybe they did that and you're even. And you want to get even, you're going to get in further debt. So it's not really like what people feel in terms of their reactive behavior towards something that they perceive to be an injury, you see. Mm. It's much more complex than that. But because a person doesn't remember what happened before this life, because your perception is limited to what you can see and hear and smell and taste through your physical organs. You cannot go past that. But if you think that that's the totality of reality, then you are very seriously under an illusion, because it's much greater than that. And so I think that the spiritual practice is important, because it helps you to unlock some of those frontiers, so that you're aware that there's many things that lie behind that and beneath that and beyond that, that are very important to explore in order for you to be a person who is fully cognizant of whatever's going on.
Sister Denise, we have scenarios where people are, I'm thinking of examples where people are in so much of pain, in so much of sorrow, that their feeling is, this is it, I would like to die now. And many do take their own lives for that reason. Now, the feeling that you cannot handle any more pain, is your ego lying to you, or can you really not handle any more? And in that sense, is the way out not justifiable, but the only option for them? I'm not asking you whether suicide is justifiable or not. We're not going to get into that debate. But you know, the feeling, this is too much for me to bear, and well, I want out.
It might be because that person doesn't have the power to bear it. And when you don't have the power, you're too weak.
Okay, so as a human being, everyone has a different level of power to bear pain.
Yes.
Oh.
Okay. You have a threshold of pain.
A threshold. And some, like physical pain, some people have a high threshold and others a lower threshold?
Yes.
Okay.
And I think that when you embark on a course of spiritual practice, one of the byproducts is that you raise your threshold of pain.
So the ability to be able to handle a lot of pain is a good thing?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That's a surprise. That's a surprise to me. It's a surprise. So it is necessary to be able to handle whatever pain life throws at you.
This way, you could say it's necessary, but the thing is, if you can't, then it breaks you. And so you're broken by it.
Okay.
But if you can, then your relationship with pain becomes very different, and you become what is known as a conqueror of matter.
Okay.
Because pain gets to you through your sense perception. And if your mind is such, so developed, that you can exceed the limits of what is endurable in terms of your sense perception, then that puts you on a different category of human being.
Okay.
So that puts you in a level of self-esteem, self-respect, puts you on a dimension that is not the same as other people, so you become someone different to the others.
You mentioned the term broken spirit. What does that mean?
That means you gave up. You couldn't handle it. You just you've heard this expression: it makes you or it breaks you.
Yeah.
So you become like you fail.
Yeah. At life?
The exams, the tests.
Okay.
So it means you take a lower position, you take a lower status. I mean, you know, the problem is people think that everybody's equal, but everybody's different. And there is a hierarchy, and people object to it because they will feel, well, it's not fair, or people in a position higher in the hierarchy are abusive of those lower in the hierarchy, and all of those are because of, yes, if you abuse your position, that's a negative karma, so people will resent it. But then they will extrapolate and say the way reality is something different from the way it actually is. So what we're trying to do in spirituality is make it very clear what is the nature of reality, and then how do you operate within that, taking into consideration what it really is, just as these scientists of today have to operate knowing the laws of physics. And people are wanting to know them more precisely so that they can work with and exploit the world of matter to the maximum degree. So in a sense, the same applies in the world of the spirit.
Yes, Denise, someone can be externally very successful, but in spirit, they could be a disaster.
Yes.
Yeah, so that external success, well, it means a lot in the material world. It's great to be rich and successful and good-looking.
But you talked about compensation. This is exactly an example of that. You're broken down inside, so you will hide it, you'll compensate it by being successful in the ways that the world rewards you for. And in that way, you will seek to prove that, no, I'm absolutely okay. But deep down, your conscience will tell you you're lying.
And we've become quite adept at ignoring that voice, haven't we?
Pretty much.
Yeah, and we engage in all sorts of numbing techniques to escape that inner voice that tells you, I'm not okay.
Not only it tells you you're not okay, it tells you you're fake, you are deceiving yourself, you're not real, and would you please wake up?
Mm.
When you say nope, it's and a denial.
Life sends a number of wake-up calls.
Indeed.
Yeah.
But if you don't wake up,
yeah,
then you have to try again the next life.
So you carry it with you?
You carry it with you, and if you don't pay attention, it's going to get heavier and more difficult as time goes by. And so this is why we are seeing at the current historical moment, things are so tragic for so many people that it defies comprehension. And people are asking, what is going on? Because it's reached that point where it's not able to be managed by the general consensus, you can say.
Okay, so you become aware of your damage, you make a decision, or life forces you to do something immediately, and then you embark on a journey using whatever tools.
Well, it could be that order, it could be other things, but you see, what we're looking at is you want to reach the core of your being. Why do you want to do that? Something inside you has to wake up and say, you know, I'm worth it.
Mm.
And if I don't do this, I will fail myself. Something has to get you going on that, and then once you get going, then it's an exploration that you need to really go as deep as you possibly can, because it is so rewarding, and the rewards that you get along the way are also coupled with tests that you also get along the way, because, you know, the ultimate reward is so great in terms of personal empowerment, in terms of personal achievement, in terms of what that makes you as a person, that there are many things along the way to try to discourage you from pursuing it. And there are a lot of people who give up, just as on any pilgrimage, you know, in different religions, people go on pilgrimages and they experience obstacles along the way, and people turn back because it's too hard.
As you speak, I'm wondering what possesses us to chase shadows and not go for the pearl?
Well, I mean, you have the legend of the Holy Grail, you know, you want that almost unattainable thing that is really the purpose of life, you know, that self-realization, that God realization, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. We have to come to a point where we stop and face the pain. The challenge with that is for many, above and beyond the pain and above and beyond the ego shell and all of the other layers that we put to anesthetize ourselves against our own pain, is fear. You're petrified that you're going to get hurt more. So you don't touch it.
You've got to go past there, because...
How do you go past there?
The thing is, there's pain maybe, but there's beauty, which is much more attractive than the pain.
Okay, if you're damaged, how can you see beyond the damage? You understand my question?
All you can see
is the forest, and the prince doesn't know Sleeping Beauty is in the other side.
But I think we need to eventually get past the damaged bit, you know, because that's a psychological problem. You take care of that, then what's next? You see. Okay, you go for the damaged bit, you fix the damaged bit, you repair the damaged bit. That's not the end. There's one more step after that, other step after that, other step. There's more steps. And as you deal with the damage, okay, I sorted out my damage, I fixed my plumbing, I mended the broken windows, I fixed the masonry in my building, okay, now, how do I make it a home, you know, and really go further into it? Because there, you know, you begin to perceive, you begin to discern that behind all that stuff, there is this extraordinary beauty, which is your core. You're trying to get to the core, and the damage is just one more little doorway that you want to get past. It's not, in comparison, as big of a deal as it looks like when all you can see is the damage. So it's very important to, okay, go there, go through there, keep going.
Okay, that requires tons of courage, doesn't it?
Well, I think what's also very useful is to actually spell it out to people that dealing with the damage is a step along the way. It's like the damage is not the end of the world. It's just, you know, another doorway that you want to go through. And as you go into through that doorway and you get into new territory, which is most extraordinary, and it is worth the, you can say, paying the price of dealing with the damage to get to that next place. And then from that next place, there's another next place and another next place, because what you want to reach is the core of your being, which is so beautiful that it's almost painful.
Does one not need a collaborator on this journey, Sister Denise, who doesn't give up on you when you give up on yourself?
It's very good if you can have that. You don't always have that. Sometimes you have it, maybe not for the whole journey. Maybe there are mentors who will go along with you for some of the way, but the one who is your eternal companion is God, because where does God take you? Takes you to your perfection. All the way.
You used a lovely expression just now. You said that you're your own home. Your being is your own home. Many people have left home and they've emigrated. How do you say come back home? People are living elsewhere. The house has become a white elephant. The self has become, you hear the expression, a shadow, he's become a shadow of what he was, he's become so-and-so as an empty shell of a person. People do that. It's a compensatory measure. You've left because it's desolate where your heart used to be.
No, because you've abandoned yourself.
And so you sing, no matter how far you've gone.
Going to yourself and coming back to yourself is like coming back home. You know, part of the purpose of this show with our fireside is the fireside is the hearth, the fireside is the core of the home. You know, and that fire is symbolic of that flame of the soul, the inextinguishable flame. You're coming back to yourself, you're coming back to God.
Okay, regrettably we have to stop talking right now, so I must say I could easily take the subject up as part three, but I think we'll bring this conversation to an end. Thank you so very much. So there you have it, part one and part two of the core of the soul, and the heart being the core of the being. An extremely riveting and mind-blowingly fascinating subject. The deepest message for me that Sister Denise shared is that you are worth it. And there's so many of us who have no idea who we are, who've abandoned ourselves, who have become something less than what we were destined to become. And so I hope that you are able to use that which has been shared on this show to heal, to grow, and to realize that whatever damage exists inside of you, you can become whole again. So thank you so much for joining us, and I hope to see you again soon. Goodbye.